Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In Romans chapter 9, Paul is dealing with the failure of Israel to obtain the promises of God regarding salvation, that is, the majority of those who belong to the nation of Israel. And this great failure of Israel is dealt with primarily in verses 6 through 13. Paul first denies that the Word of God could have failed in any way, that could explain the failure when he says in verse 6, "But it is not that the Word of God has taken no effect." But then in the last part of verse 6 and on through verse 13, he gives the explanation, and it comes in several different segments. But the first one is that not all of Abraham's descendants are true Israelites. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, verse 6, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. But then he goes on in verses 8 through 10 to tell us that only those related to God by promise are God's children. Verse 8, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of the promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children were not yet born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, "The older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." Well, this, of course, gets us into the heart of some of the most difficult verses in all the Bible, at least difficult for people to believe, to receive, to accept emotionally, even though, and to some extent, there are some difficult statements in here that may not be crystal clear in sorting them out. But for the most part, the problem is not in the section what is difficult to understand. The problem is what we are prepared and willing to accept. But we are told here that only those related to God by promise are God's children. And this is illustrated, first of all, in the case of Isaac, verse 9, and then in the case of Jacob and Esau, in verses 10 through 13. And the whole point of this, and we'll go back and look at it more closely in a moment, but the whole point of this is that the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of promise. Well, what does that mean? Well, the children of flesh are those who were produced by human activity. Ishmael was a child of the flesh because he was produced in the normal way by Abraham and Hagar when Sarah recognized that she was not able to have children. Physically, she just wasn't able to bear children. Obviously, the problem was with her, not with Abraham. She knew it. So she took her handmaid Hagar and gave her to Abraham to be another wife. In that day, servants, slaves, could become a wife, but of a different level, different social standing than the regular wife. So she would become a kind of a concubine. It was a legal arrangement, a recognized arrangement. It was not an immoral arrangement in those days. This was customary according to the customs of that day. But as we recognize, it was not It was not right. It was not what God intended. It was acting in the strength of the flesh rather than waiting for the promise of God. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a child. That doesn't mean Abraham and Sarah's surrogate. That means Abraham and Sarah. But, says Sarah, I can't have children. I've never been able to have children. Now I'm getting too old. It's impossible for me to have children. I've given up on there ever being any reversal to my barren condition. And so I'm taking matters into my own hands, and I'm going to help God out here and produce a child by means of my handmaid, Hagar. No, that's not going to be a child of God. That's a child of the flesh, because that was produced only by human activity. That was produced, we might say, by something that man could do without God. Now, obviously, in one manner of speaking, no child is conceived apart from God. God is sovereign in all things, and every child is conceived by the design of God, but this didn't require a miracle, at least in the normal understanding of that term. Sarah having a child required a miracle, because physically she was not able to produce children. Hagar, young and strong and apparently able to produce a child, and sure enough, when she was given the opportunity to have a relationship with a man, she did produce a child. There was nothing unusual or amazing about that. And so that the production of that activity was not a child of promise. Children of the flesh are not children of God, but children of promise. Children of promise are children that are created by divine activity, by divine intervention, by special divine energy. And God is the one who must do that, of course. And so we read, going back to verse 9, "For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son." This is the word of promise. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what God promised. Would Abraham and Sarah believe the promise? Well, initially, they did not. Initially, Sarah certainly did not. And her activity was the demonstration of her unbelief. There is a close relationship between what we do and what we believe. What we do is not faith, but it reveals the condition of our faith. It reveals whether we have faith or don't have faith, or what kind of faith we do have. Our deeds, our actions, our words, they reveal the nature of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you want to know what kind of faith you have, then examine your actions. And where your actions are consistent with what you say you believe, then they demonstrate that your faith is genuine and healthy. But when your actions are contrary to what you say you believe, then your actions demonstrate that your faith is either absent, or it is counterfeit, or it is in very poor health. So, Sarah's action in giving Hagar to Abraham was a demonstration of her unbelief. She didn't believe the promise of God, because if she did, she wouldn't have done what she did. Her actions reveal her unbelief. And what her action produced was not a child of promise, and therefore was not a child of God. That's what the Bible's telling us here. Ishmael was not a child of God because he was not a child of promise. And so back to verse 8. Well, back to verse 7. Well, back to verse 6. "For they are not all Israel who are of Israel." There are a lot of people physically in the nation of Israel, but they are not all spiritual Israel who are a physical Israel. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. And Isaac and Ishmael become an illustration of the spiritual truth. Abraham had two sons. Actually, he had eight when you count Keturah, but that came along much later. But at this point in the chronological record, Abraham ended up having two sons. By the time Isaac was born, there were two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, Ishmael first. Only one of them was a child of God, because only one of them was a child of promise. They were both the seed of Abraham, but only one of them was the spiritual seed of God, was spiritual Israel. That is, verse 8, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Any Israelite, therefore, this is illustrating the reason why Israel failed to obtain the promises of God. Any Israelite who is only a product of the flesh and not also a product of divine creation, divine intervention, divine activity in his soul, any Israelite who is only an Israelite physically and did not have living faith within his soul by the working of God within him, well, he was not a child of promise. So, why did Israel fail to obtain the promises? Because a lot of them were not children of promise. That's what we're reading here. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And as we've seen, there's a promise of God, a divine promise. Those who believed the promise would receive the benefits that the promise promised. And when Abraham and Sarah finally believed God and believed him completely, believed him so much that they were no longer trying to work things out in their own strength, when they believed God, then they got the results of the promise which they believed. When they finally believed that God was going to give Abraham and Sarah a son, then they conceived a son. They got the results of the promise when they believed the promise. But you see, God made a distinction between Isaac and Ishmael based upon his sovereign choice. A choice that grieved Abraham. All you have to do is go back to Genesis 21 and read verses 11 through 13, where Abraham is protesting God's rejection of Ishmael, that Ishmael is not the promise of God, is not the promised child, and God is not going to treat him as if he is. And Abraham is saying, that Ishmael would live before the Lord. But you see, God made a distinction. God made a selection. And that's God's sovereign prerogative. God can make such selections. And God does make such selections. And he's telling us about it here. And if we're not willing to listen to what he says and believe what he says, then we're going to be the loser. Because there's some important information here about the way God operates that we need to know. But we'll only know it if we listen and are willing to receive what we are told. Otherwise, we will miss this information and it will have detrimental effects upon our spiritual health. The rejection of any truth in the Bible is always detrimental to our spiritual health. And so, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman here saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.